for you all coming out on this morning, you know, to fellowship with us. And like my husband was saying, I know I sense being attacked this morning because ain't nobody. I'm like, where is everybody at? But it is well, because God makes no mistakes in whom he have to be here. That's whom to be here. And if it wasn't nobody here but just me, you know, that's all that matters. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And he wants to, we're going to continue to uphold it, whether there's anybody here or not. Yes. It don't matter, you know, because it's not even about us. No. Amen. And I bless God for what he's doing on this day. This weekend is a little bit heavy for me, but I know that I get through. You know, last year at this time, my mom she transitioned May the 27th of last year. So this is my first time being, you know, without her in the natural, you know, in the physical. But I know that she's in a better place. So we tend to sometimes we be selfish and want our loved ones to still be here with us, you know, and things when we know that it's selfish of us when they're still suffering, you know, and going through pain and stuff when our bodies wasn't designed to go through those types of pains and aches anyway. So, but I just, she's in a better place now, and I just bless God. And she's not in no more pain or suffering or hurting anymore. So I miss her, but you know, all is well. So I just thank God on today. So many people didn't wake up this morning, and for those that, you know, that still do have mothers, you know, like I tell them, y'all love on your mothers while they're here. Give them flowers while they're still here. We don't get but one mama. We can get many. You get a whole lot of other daddies. You can get as many daddies, but you don't get but one mother. One mother. So I bless God. I thank God for my mom. She taught me a lot. And, you know, helped me become the woman that I am today. So I thank God for her. She's greatly missed, but it is well. So excuse me. Is it on? Okay. I just would like to welcome each and every individual that is here in service with us with Busby Kingdom International. And I also want to say welcome social media. Just like I was saying, if you have a mother, she's still here. Love on her while she's still here. Give her flowers while she's still here. You know, and God knows, he knows best. But I bless God for those that want to come down to join us in service. And if you're a local, you're welcome to come down to 18635 8th Avenue, Suite 505. If you're in Washington, at 98148. You're more than welcome to come out and worship with us on services on Saturday. We have our service to start at 11. Worship starts at 10 o'clock a.m. Feel free, just come on out, tell a friend, come out and worship with us. I just bless God for what he's doing in this season. He's doing so many changes, and just like my husband was saying, it's time, recess is over. It's time to now to, you know, let's go to work, as Pastor Joy can say. You know, it's time to go to work and just really just be about God's kingdom business. If you would like to come out on Wednesday nights, my husband do Bible studies on Wednesday nights right here. We changed the time to 6 p.m. So come out and fellowship with us. He's been doing a three-part series, and another part on let's talk about sex, some things that the families don't talk to their children about, you know, and then they turn to the world, you know, and the world isn't going to teach them the things that they should be taught. They're going to teach them the things that they think they need to know. You know, so it's a good series to tune into on Wednesday nights. So I just bless God for what he's doing. I thank God for his grace and mercies once again. So many didn't wake up this morning. And if those that may be on their way, we pray for grace for traveling, grace and mercies to come in the service with us. I'm going to get ready to turn it over to my my husband now, so he's going to come forth, and he has a powerful message that God has given him that he's going to come forth with today. And we just bless and praise God for what he's getting ready to do. Hallelujah, for everything that he's already done. Amen. Yes. So I'm going to turn it over to him.
All right.
Amen. 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 Welcome, 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 everyone. Amen. Welcome, Facebook and all the other streaming engines that are connected. I hope you guys have had a wonderful week.
Yes.
I hope you had a wonderful week. I was really looking forward to a bike ride. We were going to take me and a few guys this weekend, but it looks like I might be playing golf instead. But I'm going to do something.
Amen.
You know, we're supposed to have fun in life as well. So, you know, today I can have what is called real fun, because what I used to call fun wasn't fun. It was killing myself.
Amen.
Amen. So I was able to let the Lord do something with my cranium, change some things around there where I can make some better choices and see things from a different perspective.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
So listen, 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 people. We are going to be doing something for those that have been following us and have been giving on a month-to-month basis online. We want to be able to give a $100 gift card to those that have been giving faithfully for the past 6 months. Gas prices are going up and things like this. And the Bible says when individuals have issues, they should be able to come to the church and be able to get the issue resolved. Now, I'm not saying that people got issues, but I know gas prices are crazy.
Yeah.
And everybody got cars. And so I just want to show our, me and my wife and Must Be Kingdom International Family, who just wants to show our appreciation to the funds that you guys donate and things like this, you know, provides this place and the audio and things that we use to be able to get the message out. So we appreciate you and the finances that you bless the ministry with on a monthly basis. So I will be in contact with those via email, and we will be getting the finances to you. Amen. All right, so over the past 2 or 3 years, oh, and for those of y'all that are new in the house, I don't do a session upon giving. Don't do that, because we are believers, and the believers say we are just cheerful givers. And so there's a little bucket there in the back. And so when the Spirit of the Lord said, give something, just dump it in the bucket. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't need to talk about money. Money's not that way. God got all the money. You see, so we don't need to sit up here and try to pump and prime somebody for something that, you know, God say give, you give, and God tell you to give how much, just give what God say, and that's the blessing.
Amen.
You
know?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So there's a lot of information that is on the earth right now.
That's right. Yeah.
A lot of information. Through technology, we've been able to get even more information. I mean, what did everybody say? If you don't know how to do something, if you don't know something, they say either go to Google or go to YouTube. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You got people putting together whole cars on just watching on YouTube. So we have a lot of information out there. Now, in the church, there's a lot of information as well. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, see, some of y'all may not have heard of this, but you need to know this. It's not good to eat off of everybody's table.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, you'll find out in the message, see, Jesus, he spoke in parables because he wanted your mind to operate instead of just sit. So just ponder on that. Think about what I mean by it's not good to eat off of a bunch of different tables.
That's right.
Okay? Okay. So just follow me. Now,
amen.
God has placed you in a house. Mm-hmm. If God placed you there. If he didn't, mm-hmm. you're probably sitting spiritually dying because you're not getting the right type of food.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Amen. What happens a lot of times, and it happened to me, is the enemy, because of the immaturity of the student or the sheep or the up-and-coming prophet or pastor or whatever, the immaturity, things hurt them. And so they say ow. And the ow will be based upon the maturity level. They'll either say ow and cuss you out. They'll either say ow and talk about you behind your back. They'll either say ow and have some angry feelings for a little while. Or they may say ow and take a look at it and say, my leaders love me, so it must be something with me, not with them. You see, that's maturity from here to here. And that's where we need to get. But the only way we can get there is by the right information. You see, you can't make a true decision on half of the information. You're only making a half decision because you only got half the information. And this is what we do. And then somewhere in the midst, we run into something that we didn't know. And then we say, well, I didn't know this. The reason why you don't know it is because you weren't given all the information. So now you're stuck with something because you didn't get all the information and you didn't use wisdom. And now you got to figure out what do I do from here? I'm gonna tell Minnie that's a good place to be today if you're tuning in. It's a good place to be because we're going to do an about face. Now, if you know somebody that's in this place, you need to have them watch this video. Because they're going to have to do it about face. Amen. We can't continue to go in the same direction when that direction is not leading us to our purpose.
Amen.
It may be making you money. Yeah. It may be bringing you what you want. But is it fulfilling the purpose? There's something called vanity. Just doing something and ain't nothing in it. And there's a lot of people, from the leaders all the way down, that are doing things and there ain't nothing in it. Because if it ain't God telling you to do it, ain't no glory in it. You're just doing it for your own gain, your own purpose. And this is why it's important when you do something to make sure it aligns with God's will. See, what I've learned is just not to do nothing. I had to learn this the hard way, people. Because I was always the one that was always running before God and getting beat up and then trying to get back in the dough. You know what I'm saying? So today I just sit back in the house and wait for the doorbell to ring for God to deliver the package. You see what I'm saying? When we learn how to wait on God, we won't get bamboozled as much. Because we're able to see that I ain't had nothing to do with this. The phone just rung and the lady was on the other line. She said, I just got $150,000. She don't know where it came from, but it said my name on it. And so I got it. I ain't do nothing for it. Thank you, Jesus. You see what I'm saying? But when we lying, cheating, and stipulating, and manipulating, and doing all this slip and slide and all this kind of stuff to get what we want, God ain't in that.
That's right.
God ain't in that. Here's one for church leaders. Listen. If we're doing the things that God had intended for us to do in our ministries, we would lack nothing. The Bible says that God provides all of our needs. So if we are doing what God intended for us to do in our ministries, we would not have to pump and prime, we would not have to manipulate and lie, cheat, steal, sell this, that, and the other to get money for... Okay, anyway, let's do this. What I'm speaking of is we just have to line up from the top to the bottom. And it starts from the top. If we as leaders line up with God and His purpose for our ministries, for our life, for our families, these things trickle down. They trickle down. If you ever want to wonder why a corporation is running so well, it's because of the board members and the ownership. They got it wrapped. They got it on lock. But if you want to know why something's so jacked up and sideways, it's because up here, they got it together. Mm-hmm. You see? So what we want to do here is we want to make sure leadership is together so that those underneath it can trickle down. And we all can just move as an organism.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You see, that's what ministry is about. It's about organism, not organization. It's organism. Mm-hmm. The difference? Organisms spread whatever they spread. We spread the gospel. Amen? Organizations receive money. See the difference? Give, take. Give, take. Big difference. Amen? Let's get into the word. All right. So today we're going to be talking about information for transformation. Because the Bible tells us that we should not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And in order to be transformed, we must be informed with what is the truth. Because if we receive a lie, we'll transform, but we will be transformed into something that we were not supposed to be. Which really means we conformed into something that we thought we were supposed to be, but it's really not what we're supposed to be. So this is where many of us are right now. Because we are being something that we think we're supposed to be, but really we're not supposed to be that because God didn't call us that, so that's what we are. Y'all keep it up with me? All right. So what that means is maybe we got some false information which led to a false transformation. Amen. But the good thing about it, we serve a great God. He knows how to take that clay thing, just slap it on the little wheel there, and that, you know, it kind of hurts. Whenever you're trying to transform something, you got to take it and bend it and shape it. And so there's a lot of pain that goes through. You know, for me, I'm going to tell you, I don't never want to go through that again. That was hell that we had to go through. You know, and see, I think that's why there's a respect for God, because I understand that I had nothing to do with where we've come from and where we are. I know that it was God. And I remember what it was like over here. And I remember what we had to do to get here. And I remember the fire we had to go through. And these are the things that keeps my mind from going to the left. See, they always say when you forget where you've come from, you go right back to it. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I'll never want to forget where I came from.
Amen.
But you know what? I never have to. Because my life's mission is to go back into the vineyard and pull those out. So I'm always around where I came from. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit of the Lord has given me the strength to be around it and not in it. Yes. And that's a blessing.
Amen.
That's a blessing. I want to talk about a word, converted. Converted. Because when we get information, there's a transformation that takes place, and another word for transformation we'll find in the Bible is converted. When we come into the things of God, we leave darkness and we come into the light. Mm-hmm. There's a conversion, a shift, a change. A conversion means to turn or change from one substance or state to another. So you turn from being evil to holy, hatred to love, all these things. So there's a conversion that takes place. But we have to remember that there's many different conversions that have to take place to complete the entire transformation. Amen?
Amen.
Now see, the thing about us is we think we got it all together. And this is what I love about God, is because just when we think we got it all together, he'll throw something at us to make us look at ourselves to see we 1,001,000,000,000 miles away from where we thought we were. He has to humble us. And it's that lets me know he loves me. Because if he didn't love me, he wouldn't put me through some of the mess that I go through. But see, we look at the fact that it's, I don't like what I feel with spoiled brats, and and why I got to go through this and this, that, and the third. But if you can see in the future what he has planned, you'll understand it and you'll go through it with joy. Mm-hmm. This is why the Bible says, count it all joy when you go through. Mm-hmm. For the testing of your faith produces something. Mm-hmm. And when that something is full grown, you'll be whole, lacking nothing. Meaning you'll be a mature believer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read verse 3. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3. Matter of fact, I think what we'll do, we're going to read verse 1 through 3. Let's just read on down. 1 through 3. Follow me, y'all. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 3. It reads, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, says, about that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Sounds like a question somebody asks these days. Jesus called a little child to him and put that child among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles themselves as one of these little children, they would be the greatest in heaven. Father, we thank you for the word, for this blessing. We thank you for your sweet spirit that gives wisdom that comes from the throne of heaven.
Yes.
Lord, we are asking for your wisdom, that you may give us understanding of this word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you put me behind the cross, that you may have total rule and reign over this body to deliver what it is that God has given for you to deliver. That not flesh in any glory, but all the glory goes on to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He said in verse 3, then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn, or in other words, be converted, or in other words, be transformed. Okay? Turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So we can see the importance of transformation or conversion. But how do we convert? How do we transform? We understand that the Spirit of the Lord is the one that does all the inner work. But there's things that we can do, and God works through his vessels to help us with this transformation. The best way to receive what you need for your transformation is through the Word of God, because it is the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, as you read the Word of God, we're able to receive information. But the thing about this information is it's the truth. So based upon this information in the truth, we have the ability to do something. Today we're only going to be talking about information, because we need to understand the importance of the information that we're getting. because we can get information that will lead to a wonderful transformation. But we can also get information that will be to our demise and corrupt our transformation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
A caterpillar goes through a transformation, and it comes out a beautiful butterfly. Goes in this little hairy little brown little thing that goes around like this, and it comes out this beautiful butterfly. It goes through a process.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that process, because that process is very similar to the process that we have to go through. So, in Matthew chapter 18 and 3, it tells us that there's a truth. He said, I tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. So the truth means there must be information. Okay? So, here we have the truth, which is information. Applying this truth will bring forth a transformation, and the transformation leads to eternal life in the kingdom. This is the process. But it all starts with information. Right? So the reason why I keep beating up on this is because we need to comprehend and understand the importance of the information we're getting.
Yeah.
Now, Satan understands the importance of information as well.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm going to ask you this question. This will sum it all up. I'll rest my case. I can do one of those mic drops on this one myself. Do you spend more time reading your Bible or watching TV? Okay, everybody in the house here, we all read our Bible all day, every day, every day, every day. Listen, all of us, we all are being programmed by television. We're all being programmed by the media. We run to get to the 5 o'clock news to be programmed with a whole bunch of lies. But we spend very little time reading the truth. So what is happening is we're allowing the programming that we allow into our gates to program us to feel a certain way and to react a certain way. See, when you read the Word of God, it's going to shift your mindset. You're going to start thinking a certain way, you're going to start feeling a certain way, and you're going to start acting a certain way. It's going to be totally opposite of everybody else that's being programmed by television. This is the problem with many ministries and the body of Christ today, is we're trying to mix the programming.
All right.
We're trying to mix the information from the TV with the information from the Word.
Wow.
And that ain't Christianity.
No.
That falls under the line of paganism and all kind of other crazy crap. Amen. Because God laid it down right here. But this is what we're doing. We're mixing to satisfy the flesh. To satisfy the flesh. Let's look at Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 3:19. You know, I'm one that I believe the Bible talks about how Jesus would go into the synagogue and he would read the book of Daniel. And I'm like, well, man, okay. Jesus had, he would read one book and he would read one book and have a 4-day service off of one book. Probably one verse of the one book. But, you know, we today have taken on a philosophical type of way about things, to where we jump here and jump there to tie this and that together. In some cases, it's a good thing. But then, in other cases, you might be bamboozled. So this is why it's always good to study the Word, to show thyself approved, and that the Word that you are receiving is approved by God. Because if it's approved by God, it'll line up everything that is said with his Word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sure.
We are in the body of Christ are to receive the Spirit of God, receive understanding of the statutes and laws of God, to be educated, to mature in God, to go out and to serve God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. And what we are to serve them is information. See, Ezekiel, God spoke to him about this. And I just want to cover just this one part, but it'd be a great story for you to read when it comes to the information that God has for you to give to his people. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, if you warn them, so basically, if you give them the information, and they refuse to repent and keep sinning, they will die in their sins. But you will have served yourself, or excuse me, saved yourself because you obeyed me. Okay? There's a lot of people that you don't want to give the information to. They may be living a lifestyle that you figure they'll never get out of, whatever your finite mind is thinking, you know. But God say, give them the information, right? See, we're living in a time right now where we don't know how long a person's going to be on the earth. They'd be alive today and be dead tomorrow with all this stuff that's going on. You know what I'm saying? So people need to get the message, the information. But if we don't give it to the people that God said give it to, the blood is on our hands.
Yes, sir.
But if we give it to them and we have obeyed God, no matter what they do, the blood ain't on our hands. We can't make somebody, we can lead them to the water, but we can't make them drink.
That's all right. That's right, sir.
You see? But it's our job as leaders to deliver the information. Not my information. Not the world's information, Walter Cronkite's information, but God's information.
Yes.
Not Kenneth Copeland's information, but God's information. Not T.D. Jakes' information, but God's information. You see what I'm saying?
That's right. That's right.
You see, because what you're doing is you're giving them God's information, which is the true information, so they can make a decision off of the truth. But see, if we're not giving the information, how can we make a true decision to move into transformation? Because we may be thinking we're going to be transformed into a beautiful butterfly, and we end up being one of them black crows. Don't nobody want to be one of them things. It was the most dirtiest little things I ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? But I believe in the information. I don't be a butterfly if I hold up one hand and stick my leg out and say, yeah. But that's not the right information. You're doing the wrong thing. You're following the wrong information. You just look stupid. Right? So we need to make sure that the information that we are getting is the correct information so we can get the correct transformation and fly away instead of being stuck, deformed, trying to figure out how I get like this. You see, many of us are taking information and applying it. See, next week we're going to talk about the application. Ooh, that's going to be good. Boy, y'all be there. Ooh, my God. Hey. The words say this. It cuts like a two-edged sword. Y'all come with some band-aids and alcohol. We all going to get towed up, cut up for the flow up. We got to start applying the information. Just getting information. For what? To look smart? No. We get information to apply it to gain wisdom. to better not just our life, but the lives of others. Because it's not just about us. But if we get the wrong information, now we're spreading the wrong information, producing the wrong transformation. So who are we really working for?
Oh, my God.
Stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Hey, man, see, I shouldn't have done that. My wife tell me I can't keep a secret for nothing.
That's good.
I guess the Lord wanted y'all to get a little peek of that because he really wants us to understand this. Do we understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom? A lot of people have a lot of knowledge. Not a lot of people have a lot of wisdom. So you can go to school and get a lot of knowledge.
Yes, sir.
But you can get a lot of wisdom from that knowledge. I'm telling myself, listen, man, I ain't go to school. I got maybe a little bit of degree. I got a little bit of degree. I had to do it, but you know, God wouldn't let me complete it. He wouldn't let me complete it. I wanted to go to all the seminary and all that stuff that all these other people were doing. This is what I wanted to, but God wouldn't let me do it. And I'm gonna tell you why I think. Because I love reading his word, one. And two, I have experienced life. That through my life, I've gained wisdom that I can tie in to the word and the revelation to my past that I can share in a way that a person with knowledge really would be able to. I remember when I was in a treatment room, the lady said she has a degree in chemical dependency. So the question was, have you ever used drugs? And she said no. And I walked out of class because she couldn't help me. Because she could not understand. She could not understand being at home Christmas Eve, looking forward to Christmas, but then all of a sudden something says get up and go out and buy some crack. And then you go up and do it and return 4 days later, closer to New Year's Eve. That's half of Christmas. You see, you can't understand the feeling behind that. You can't understand what's going on through a person's mind going through that. So it can't help me. You see. So our wisdom, our life experiences have the ability to draw those individuals that are right there where you once were. Because they're not going to listen to somebody that cannot feel their pain, understand their mindset. But you can if you've been there. And because you've been there and you've overcome it, you've overcome the spirit behind it that tried to kill, steal, and destroy you. Now you can help another kill, steal, and destroy what's trying to attack them. And this is what church, this is what ministry, this is what kingdom is about. And this is what we must get back to. The song I listen to, it says it's 11:59, it's time to wake up and get with it. Amen. We ain't got too much time left, people. So it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Ooh, well, you know, I tell you, I think I done covered everything in here, but God put it the way he wanted to put it, not the way I wanted. Okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. All right.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. All right. All right. All right. All right. So, information. So as we go to school, we receive information. And that information goes into our database. The way the school system is designed is they have us take these tests, and it lets them know if the information has gone in the right place, and if we pass the test, then they know that we've retained it and everything's good. We've been programmed.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So, The Bible says in, let's go to, let's go to Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. We're going to read about the master gardener and the seeds that he throws out and where the seeds land. Because we want to discover what type of mindset do I have. Because see, as I always say, we must learn to take inventory of ourselves. We too busy taking everyone else's inventory. Wow. Looking at their hair, looking at their nails, looking at their car, trying to find out how much money they make, looking at their husband, looking at their wife, looking at. But you don't want to look at you. Uh-huh. And that is where the focus needs to be. Mm-hmm. It needs to be on self, mm-hmm, and not on others.
Yes.
The Bible says, how can you tell someone about a speck in their eye when you got a big old log in your own?
All right.
That log, it took time to become a log because them little specks had to keep building up until it became a log. So that means you've been looking at a bunch of folks' stuff for a long time and not your own for a long time. So it's time to turn around and look at your own stuff. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So what we're gonna look at this stuff. We're gonna see as you go to church every Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday or whatever, whenever you go, what are you doing with the information? Where's the information going? Is it falling on fertile ground? Or is it falling on the wayside? Is it going in stony ground? Where is the information going? And the thing about it is your lifestyle tells where it's going.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I don't know why people go around talking about I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. People talk about I'm a Christian. You need to really check and see, because people that are really Christians, they ain't got to say too much. They just live life. And people say, no, that's a Christian right there. But how we deal with things, how we deal with life, you see. But when you deal with life as people of the world, and you call yourself a Christian, I would maybe take an inventory of that, see what the Lord says to you. All right. So Luke chapter 5 or 8, verse 5 through 8. We're going to take a look at the master gardener here.
Right.
And then you got a big old field, and he wants to plant some seeds so he can come in due season and get a harvest.
Right.
Amen. He wants some collard greens and all that good old stuff.
Yes, indeed.
And I plan on being right at that table eating with him. Amen. All right, here we go. So, Luke chapter 8, we're going to read verse 5 through 8. We're going to read verse 5 through 8. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. It says, a farmer went out to plant his seeds. Now, before I read this, I want to share this with you. Before I read it, why did Jesus teach in parables? Now see, I kind of gave it away earlier, but for the new folks, why teach in parables? Why didn't you just tell people?
To make it simple?
Yeah, why didn't you just make it simple?
Because
think about it.
Certain people are supposed to receive it.
Think about it. So, we are people that we don't think. Mm-hmm. We just do. We don't think. So what parables do is it makes you think, because it really don't make sense, but it does make sense using things that you are accustomed to. Mm-hmm. You see, back then farming was the thing, so they understood when they talked about plowing seeds and throwing seeds and how a seed will fall on the wayside. They understood what happened to that seed. They understood what happened if the seed fell into the rock. They understood this stuff, so the parable made sense to them. If you don't know anything about farming, it ain't going to make no sense to you.
Right.
But I'm going to make sure it makes sense to you today. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right, here we go. So, he goes on to say this. The farmer went out to plant seeds, to plant his seeds, and he scattered it across the field. Some seeds fell on a footpath, or the King James Version says, wayside. There it was stepped on, and the birds ate it. Verse 6. Other seeds fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon withered and dried for lack of moisture. Amen. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plant. Then I go on in. Number 8. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. And we're going to talk about the fertile soil later. We need to talk about this other stuff we already know a little bit about. We all want to be fertile, but we need to find out if we really are fertile. Amen? Hallelujah. So, verse 5. So, if we look, as I was reading this over and over and over and over and over again, it came to me, and it said that the Lord is scattering. The Lord is scattering truth or information. It's being scattered all over the world. He's dropping his truth, his information through his leaders, through his word, through vessels, through prophets, through prophecy. He's dropping his truth, information. But in many, where is it falling? So we're going to look at these three areas, the wayside, stony ground, and we're going to look at fertile ground. Amen. The wayside. So back then, it was hard and it was compacted soil of a path. So, you know, if you continue to walk the same road, you know, you would see, if you look on the side of the road, little paths that people walk to the store from a certain place. They keep beating that path, nothing grows there no more.
That's true.
Amen. See, so that seed is information. So if it doesn't sink into the ground, it just sits on top. It talks about it in verse 12. Go down to verse 12 in Luke chapter 8. Go to verse 12. Verse 12 reads this. It says, that's 13. Come on, 12. Come on, 12. It says, the seed that falls on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. So because the seed can't really hide itself because, well, It's being trampled on, it's being stepped on, it's being mishandled. It's not able to get what it needs. Soil, when you till the ground, you're tilling the ground to where the soil is soft and the roots can easily go down and begin to go into the ground. But when it's packed down in the beginning, the roots can't go nowhere. They can't go down. So it gives the birds the opportunity to come down, swoop down, and pick the seed up and eat it for dinner. Instead of allowing it to create the harvest that the gardener was expecting for it to produce. Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus was speaking to the crowds about the kingdom, explaining through the parable that the religious leaders' rejection of the Messiah did not change the truth, the information. Jesus and the gospel were the truth. There was no problem with them as far as no problem. There was no problem with them as there was no problem with the farmer or his seed. The only variables was the land or the heart. The heart. Okay. So there really wasn't too much of a problem with the farmer or his seed. The problem was the heart, the soil, the heart, the mind, where the seed or the message fell. So, as the man of God or the woman of God is giving the information, is your heart prepared to receive it? Information is only good if you can receive the information the way the information was given. If your heart is not aligned up with God, you're not going to receive the information. Or you'll receive it, but it will be twisted in some ways or some areas because of the pride which wants the information, but I really don't like this or like that, so I'll do it like this or that. And now it's not God's information, it's yours. Amen?
Amen.
Goes on to say that the seeds also fell in rocks. In rocks. See, the wayside had no soil at all. There was no soil, no loose dirt. But on the wayside, the soil, or the shallow soil or rocks, the roots can begin to grow because there's a little bit of dirt, something that the roots can kind of go down into. It's not hard because the rocks keep it from getting hard. So it can kind of go in between it and make its way down. See, this type of soil was found in every farmer's field because there was a lot of rocks in the field. So there was always that loose dirt in between the rocks to where if the seed fell on the rocks, it could begin to grow, but it would be snatched or wouldn't be able to grow because the roots could not go any deeper, couldn't take any root. So, okay, so verse 13 in Luke chapter 8, it reads, the seeds on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy, but since they didn't have deep roots, they believed for a while, then they fell away when they faced temptation. When they face temptation. We on our own cannot defeat the things that come against us. The temptations, the things that the flesh desires. We can't fight it off on ourselves. We're so prideful to think we're doing something, but it has nothing to do with us, it's all Him. Mm-hmm. When we come into the things of God, the enemy knows where our weaknesses are. And he's always going to try to knock at the door, find his way in, some way or somehow. And he's so patient that he'll knock a little, and you may fall a little, but he's not going to go full force for maybe a year. And then just let it loose when you think that you got everything under control. Catch you off guard. And this is where a lot of us stumble. Because we quit doing things that we used to do. Because I've been around for a while now. I ain't got to do that no more. You see? But then the enemy comes in. And see, God allows this, people. Because he wants to remind you, you ain't that girl. You ain't that guy. You better stay humble. You know, and that's love. So we can't do nothing but just praise Him and thank Him for that. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
So, because the roots cannot go deep, the hot sun would dry up the water and it just couldn't get the nutrients the roots needed, so they would wither and die for lack of moisture. So what we would do is we As it speaks of in verse 13, Jesus explains that those whose hearts are this way hear the word and they receive the word, but as things begin to go on in their life, they forget the word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When the going gets tough, the tough runs to ease and comfort.
Yeah.
Instead of running to God, where your help comes from.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Number three talks about thorns. Thorns would rob the sprouts of nutrients and water and light and space. Thus, when the thorns grew, the weeds grew faster than wheat. So when weeds grow faster, they kind of overshadow the wheat to where it looks like everything's just weeds. But you got to look close, because in the midst of the weeds is some wheat. Amen.
Amen.
And this is why Jesus said, no, let them both come up together. We don't want to take and kill the wheat trying to tear down the tear. Let them come up together. Okay, so in verse 14, it says here in Luke chapter 8, 14, it says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil. No, we're not on good soil yet. How are we going to get to the good soil? We ain't going to the thorns yet. Let's go there. 14, here we go. The seeds that fell among the thorns represented those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cries and riches and pleasures of life. And so they never grow into maturity. Thorns. Thorns. So because we're in this world and we're programmed, you know, we have these reality shows that are the lie, because that is not most people's reality, stepping out of luxury cars and living in mansions and taking trips. That's not a reality. But they got everybody watching. And it's programming, folks. It's programming, folks. So thorns rob the nutrients, the water, the light, and space of the seed. See, the good seeds would be choked out and could not mature. Example. Grab that phone, Ben. It's on the field there. I'm about to throw the thing outside. Just sit outside somewhere. Spirit. Yeah, so, thank you, Holy Spirit. So, choked out. What we do, because of our programming, is we forget what the spirit desires and begin to move more so for what the flesh desires. Why? Because this is what's going into our database. This is what's going into our eye gate. This is what's on the forefront of our mind. And whatever is on the forefront of our mind, whatever we think of the most is what we serve. And so if we're thinking about an Xbox and this is on the forefront of our minds, everything I'm doing basically is for the Xbox.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So as these things are coming into our minds, as we go through life on a day-to-day basis, things begin to squeeze out the word that you heard on Saturday, and it's just Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just that quick.
Yeah.
You see, that's why we got to come back on Wednesday for Philip, because you know, all this stuff takes place. You know, the thorns, we choke that stuff out. Now we back living over this way and don't even know how we got there.
Yeah.
That's how cunning the enemy is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Don't believe the hype when they say, oh, he's just a toothless, crazy old, stupid old. No, he done been around too long. He know me better than I know myself, so I better stay on point.
Nah, he's smart.
I better stay on point. And y'all better too. All right, we're going to close with this one, y'all. Fertile soil. Fertile soil. This is where everybody in Muskie Kingdom International Ministries in Washington and Kenya and Pakistan. This is where we all at, y'all. We gonna get there. We gonna get there. Amen. This is the goal, people. This is the goal. We want to have fertile soil. If you ever seen a beautiful garden, the dirt even look good.
Yeah.
I mean, the tomatoes look good. The leaves on tomatoes look good. And even the dirt look good. I mean, you know, you seen that dirty old dirty dirt? I mean, it's look all brown and decrepit. It's like, ugh, I don't know why I would eat them tomatoes. But the fertile ground got that nice moist looking dirt, you know what I'm saying? Make you want to stick out your tongue and kiss it. I'll just play. Fertile soil. Some seed must be lost. Must be lost. But other seeds fall on fertile soil. See, God already knows that not every seed that he planted or not every seed that he threw fell in the best places. He knows this. But we want to make sure that our ground is one of those best places. You see, because he literally lets us know that these seeds all aren't going to fall on fertile ground. He's letting us know this. The information that I'm giving is not going to fall where it needs to fall. We just need to make sure that our ground is the fertile ground where we're going to be talking about right here. All this other stuff ain't got nothing to do with us. I hope y'all get it right. Ain't got nothing to do with us because we over here.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
This is where we at. All right. So, some seed may be lost, but other seeds fall on fertile soil. The soil has been plowed by the farmer. What am I talking about? Tilling of the ground. You know what tilling is? Tilling herds. That's when they take the thing and it goes into the ground, it goes under the ground, it picks up the dirt, turns the dirt up, turns it around, and then they just going down and just turn the ground, just like that. Now just imagine somebody doing that inside of you. That hurt, right? And it goes on.
Amen.
Because God wants to prepare your ground.
Yeah.
A lot of the pain and the suffering that we go through is God tilling our ground, preparing it for the seed so that he can get the harvest in the future.
Come on.
Right.
Come on.
Amen?
Amen.
But we have to receive the information. We have to allow God to give us the information. But before he can give it to us, we have to be prepared for it. So how do we get prepared for the information? By living a Christ-like life.
Study.
A Christ-like life. You see? See, we're speaking of information. So here's some information. If you model the life of Christ, you're always taking the correct barometer of your Christian maturity. It's not measuring your maturity by T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, all these cats. It's by God, by Christ. This lets us know where we are at. Ain't no pride in that, because you'll never measure up. Never measure up. So we're always below, which means we're humble. Stay humble. Amen. Hallelujah. The other is to walk in his commands and his statutes. Because if you're doing this, your heart's right. If your heart's right, your mind's right. And if your mind's right, your soul's right. And if your soul's right, you got fertile ground. And whatever seed God puts in there, the roots are going to grow, and it's going to prosper, and it's going to be a harvest. Guarantee it. The seed produced crop 100 times as much as had been planted. Let me tell you something, y'all. If you've ever done any farming and you put down seeds, the amount of seeds you put down, you're going to get 10 times as much in the harvest.
Yeah.
Ask any farmer. Just because you put down one seed, you assume you're just going to get one plant? That thing's going to multiply. That seed's going to burst and it's going to multiply. So as we get this information and we allow the information to fall into fertile ground, and as you come back next week for part two and we talk about the application that brings forth the transformation, you will see how you will be blessed not 100-fold, but 2 to 3 to 4 to 500-fold off of the seed that had been planted, off of the information that had been given that you applied to your life. Amen. See, the problem is we don't apply the information to our life. We walk around with it, we tell people about it, but we don't apply it to our life.
Preach.
My wife always tells me, Pastor, what you teach?
Teacher.
And she's right. That's what we all need to do. We could have told somebody else what to do. That's pride.
Yeah.
But why don't we take that information and apply it to our own self?
Amen.
That's humbleness.
Yeah.
So what are we walking in? Pride or humbleness? What are we doing with the information that has been given to us? What are we doing with the information that the Spirit of God in trying to direct us is giving us? The Bible says, if you love me, you will follow me. But how can we follow if we don't want to listen? How can we follow if we don't want to take the information that's given to teach us or show us where to go or what to do? Information. Information is the beginning of transformation.
Amen.
You can't transform if you don't have the information, the knowledge, and the wisdom to do such.
Yep.
Facebook, we thank you for joining us today. We thank you for joining us today. You know, many of you are tuned in and you sit back in the comforts of your own home and you listen in to the word of God that has been given. And when we tune off, what do you do? I'm not there with you, so I don't know. What do you do? Because this is information. This is truth. This is information from the word of God. What are you doing with it? Where's it going? Falling on stony ground or thorny bushes? Where's it going?
Fertile ground.
Another thing. Please take inventory of yourself. I state this every week almost. Look at yourself. Stop looking at others. When you die, you're going to be in that coffin by yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
So you may as well get comfortable with yourself.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We love you. We thank you. Join us next week, or join us on Wednesday when we'll be back with our last chapter. Let's talk about sex. And I pray that it's information that you are applying for the transformation that God is intending for it to take. God bless you. Remember, walk by faith, not by sight. We'll see you next week.
Amen.
Amen.